Please follow along in your Bibles. There are Bibles in the pews. Grab one of those. If you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. You can take that home with you. So we're in Acts 28, verses 17 through 31. After 3 days, he, that's Paul, called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We've received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing amongst themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn that I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance."
Thank you, Beju. If I haven't met you, I'm Ronald Luna. I am the missions director here at The Well. And if you've been here for the last 3 weeks, this is my second time in 3 weeks, so I apologize for that. I had no say in it. And for whatever reason, they gave me the longest verses, too, to preach. I didn't choose them. I was told to preach. So, with that said, today is the last day of the series Who We Are. We're in the last chapter of Acts 28. So today, I'll try to summarize go through the chapter 28, summarize some of the key points that we've seen throughout the entire series of it, and then maybe make some recommendations as we move forward. And today is also the last day of summer of fun. So right now, there's a community group downstairs praying and hoping that I'll stretch out the sermon. I'm usually the fastest of all three of us that get up here and get out faster. But since Monday, I've been bullied, I've been texted multiple times to stretch the sermon out, all right? But then yesterday, I told my son that I'm preaching, and his reaction was, "Yes, we're getting out early." So we'll see how it goes, all right? So as we read, thank you, Beju, she just read Acts 28. So I'm going to just go back a little bit before the verses that we just read in 28, because we didn't read verses 1 through 17. I'm just going to give you a quick overview and a quick summary. So we know, based upon what Matt preached on last week on Acts 27, Paul is in a shipwreck. He's on his way to Rome, but then there's a major storm, mostly around November through January, around there in the winter. And then the entire crew is shipwrecked, and they're in the island of Malta for 3 months. People are extremely cold. It's rainy. It's winter. They're trying to warm up. And then all of a sudden, Paul goes into the woods and gets firewood. Then a snake bits him. It's hanging on to his arm, and everyone sees that this snake has bitten Paul. And Paul being Paul, he does not panic. He shakes it off and throws it into the fire. People's reaction is he's going to die. He must have done something to deserve this, but Paul never blows up. He never gets fever. He never gets sick. And people begin to say, something is up with Paul. Then the individual that is hosting him, he falls ill, he heals them, and then the entire village begins to bring the sick to Paul, and he begins to heal them. That is verses 1 through 16. People begin to comment that Paul must be a god. But knowing Paul, he gives all the glory to God. We're reading between the lines here. So now we finally get to Acts 28, 14 through 16. Finally, Paul arrives to Rome. But why is that significant? Why is Rome so critical for the development of the early church and for us as a body of Christ? When Paul arrives to Rome, this is the center of the universe. This is, in essence, the ends of the world for the Jewish people. Paul has arrived to Rome with a purpose. When we begin to see Rome, we know that Rome has extended its empire. We know that Paul arrives between 60 to 62 AD. It was a bustling metropolitan city with about 1 million people. It's significant to the Jewish population and had a mix of religious and philosophical beliefs. It was the capital of the vast Roman Empire and the center of power. Not only of the power, but the culture and commerce. Paul's arrival is significant because this is what God is going to use as a spring, as a catapult, as a trampoline for the expansion of the gospel to the ends of the world. So Paul finally arrives. This is what Acts has been building up upon. Rome is here. Now we see Paul entering Rome, but we know that this is just the beginning of what's going to happen. So we start in verse 17, and the question is, what does Paul do during his 2 years there? Well, Paul is extremely busy. The Bible tells us in verse 22 that he only takes 3 days to recuperate from the 3 month shipwreck. I know when I travel, I take months just to recuperate. Paul takes 3 days to rest. Now, be mindful that in this time, he also needs to rent an apartment or a house. He doesn't have Trulia, he doesn't have Zillow. He somehow gets the house furnished, to get the house ready, and within 3 days, he begins to welcome the Jewish council into his home. So this is a brief summary. This is the things that he does for those 2 years. He meets the Jewish council. He preaches the gospel to the Jewish council. He affirms the Holy Spirit and what he spoke about in the Old Testament. He declared the gospel for the Gentiles and for the entire world. And he waits 2 years for the trial. 3 days of rest, but 2 years of hiatus. What will you do with 2 years of waiting? I'm a person that is extremely impatient. My mind is always working. My wife tells me that's a curse and a blessing. If I'm in line, either for a sporting event, I'm looking for the quickest way in. I'm also looking for the quickest way out. If I'm driving, I'm looking at what lane moves the fastest, which lane is moving the slowest. If I'm in a grocery lane, I'm looking. So waiting is not my virtue. I'm a very impatient individual. But Paul is waiting 2 years for the trial to arrive. Paul, out of his expenses, he rents a home with Roman soldiers guarding him 24/7, and he begins to preach to the Jewish people. Now, Betty just spoke about the before, during, and after Christ. And I think most of us, depending on where we are in our lives, depending on what we're doing in our lives, we're not very well at waiting for something to happen. I know some of us are waiting for job announcements, right? Waiting for a job offer or an interview. And in that waiting, we get desperate. We begin to do things as opposed to praying or beginning to trust in the Lord. So when I see Paul, there's a couple of things that kind of talks to me. Number one is that he's very point-oriented in terms of, like, this is what I need to do. I need to preach the gospel. I need to meet with people. I need to tell them that God loves them, especially the Gentiles. We're going to go out and preach the gospel. 2 years, he's waiting for the trial. If you have a chance, you should look and listen to the video done by the Bible Project. There's 8-minute videos on Acts. It's a very long video. I highly suggest you look at it because it gives you a very good overview of the book of Acts. But in those 2 years, we began to see that God had a purpose not only for Paul to arrive to Rome, but also the idea to begin to build a multi-ethnic church. So God has been at work. Before Paul arrives to Rome, God is beginning to create multi-ethnic churches throughout Asia, throughout Europe, and eventually to the ends of the world. Paul's prison, house arrest. He's very intentional in terms of who he meets and what he says to them. When we get to Acts 28, verse 28, this is the central theme of this particular chapter. It says, "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." We are those Gentiles. The Jewish people did not want to hear the gospel. Paul is hand-selected by Christ to go out to preach to the Gentiles. And the message is clear. God wants everyone to be saved. He's searching the ends of the world for the individuals to be saved. Paul is just a messenger of that message. So when we get to Acts 28, towards the end of that chapter, we know and understand completely that the whole focus of Acts is to preach the gospel to the ends of the world and to build a multi-ethnic church. But what does that church look like? How is that church going to be built? So we know that as God is beginning to create this church, that as God is beginning to build this church, you and I are part of this multi-ethnic church. One of the things that is very striking when we as Americans or people in North America go to the ends of the world, we notice that we're able to communicate and be able to feel and share the same joy as our brothers and sisters around the world. Why? Because they worship the same God. They read the Word of God. So there is already a connectivity that takes place because we're able to speak and worship through the Holy Spirit, our God. So Paul understood this when he writes the letters to the apostles or to the different churches around Asia Minor. The other thing that is very surprising, and this is I learned a couple of years ago, that the book of Acts is written in the following structure. It's written to Jerusalem in the first chapters, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the world. That gives you a different point of view when you're reading through Acts that God intentionally created and wrote that book with a structure for us to begin to think about how does the gospel look in Jerusalem? How does the gospel look in Judea and Samaria? How does the gospel is going to look in the ends of the world? And I know that I have spoken to many of you, and one of the things that you always say is that I am where God wants me to be. And I believe that. But the question is, what if God is asking you for something else? What if Jerusalem is not the final destination? What if, like Paul, is just the beginning of the journey? Just to give you an idea of who I am. I have lived in Silver Spring the last 40 years and literally in the same street for the last 40 years. I went to the same university that I taught for 25 years. I went to the same church that my dad established for 30 years. So when change happens in my life, it's not because I'm looking for it, it's because God forces me to go into that change. I always joke around that at age 50, something's going to happen, right? Now, many things happened before then, and I'm going to turn 50 next year. I know, I don't look it. You know, I look like I'm 40. I know, you don't have to tell me about it. But next year, I'll be 50. And I always told my wife that at 50, something is going to happen. I didn't know what it was. Now I know what that was. I left Maryland, I left my dad's church, and I'm here at the Well, working at the Well. So God's timing was his, not mine. But I always have said, sooner or later, I know God wants me to live somewhere else in the world. I don't know where. And my wife goes, I don't think that's what God wants you to do, but you know, that's a negotiation that is still going on. Now, be mindful, I marry a lawyer, so I'm going to lose that negotiation, all right? So when we begin to think about change, right, I look at you and I'm in awe of the body of Christ here at the Well. It amazes me that we have so many military families in our congregation and their adaptability to get up and be flexible to move and create communities every couple of years. That is a gift. The bravery of individuals to move across destinations and places around the United States to make here Maryland a home, or even the individuals that have decided to come to university here in Washington, D.C., or for a job or higher education. I know personally that I would never do that. Now, my children most likely will be going to Maryland because they have free tuition, so they're going to go there. They have no other option, right? But imagine, right, if my children all of a sudden decide to move, that would be radical for our lives because we see Maryland and Silver Spring are our home. So when we begin to think Acts, the structure of Acts, think about where are you at? Are you at Rome right now? Are you at the ends of the world? Or you are just at the beginning of the stages? Are you in Jerusalem? Or God is enabling you and equipping you to go to Judea and Samaria? I don't know the answer. But I know that we are a very transitional church, that we're moving every so often. And we begin to think about why is God calling us that way? So when we look at this concentric circles, we begin to see that Jerusalem is dependent on where we are, right? For us, this is Washington, D.C. That is our Jerusalem. And you might think, there's no way on God's green earth that I will ever move to, you fill in the blank. Or when you were growing up, this notion and this story or this imagination that you will be living in Washington, D.C. was very far-fetched because you were in Jerusalem and God brought you to the ends of the world. Change is very difficult, and I know. But when you are working with the Holy Spirit and you're obedient to God, it makes it a little bit easier. I already told you that I'm highly impatient, and I hate or dislike change, right? Because we don't use hate in our, right? Dislike change. I don't like it. But I have learned to be flexible and to be adaptable, especially when we're traveling across the world. So I want to give you an example of how God is moving in this body of Christ. I'm going to give you a visual example with the help of you right now. I want you to stand up, if you can, if you were not born in the United States. Just stand up if you were not born in the United States and remain standing. For those of you that are not standing, just look around. Okay? Now, stand up if you are not native to Maryland or the DMV area. Stand up. Look at our body. So in essence, what God is doing is changing and shifting the locations of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the world. He's flipping them around. Thank you so much. You may be seated. For those of you that are native and grew up in Maryland or the DMV area, please stand up. So this is the body of Christ at work. Thank you so much. We begin to see that God is moving, that God is actively moving in our lives. And again, none of us chose, quote unquote, to be here. But God is mindful that the gospel needs to be preached to the Gentiles and to the ends of the world. So Paul writes, Paul continues to write this message. And as a body, as we heard through Betty and my wife, why do we share the gospel? What are the words that can help us as we share the gospel? We're not going to follow up with Romans in the next series, but I think there's also a glimpse into Paul's writing into Rome And it says in Romans 1, 15 to 17, that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to who you are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. That's in essence Acts 1, 8, right? This notion of Jerusalem to the ends of the world. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it was written, the righteousness will live by faith. And we are living by faith. We have been saved by faith, and we have been made righteous with God. So, and you might ask yourself, and again, I don't know your story. I just know that you either are in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, or the ends of the world, and you're moving towards that or moving away from it. But how does that apply to us as a body of Christ? How does that apply to the world? So here are some thoughts as we think about the Acts, the book of Acts, and the series that we talked about, who we are. I believe we are people on mission sharing the gospel. Amen? You got to believe it, right? That's what we've been saved, redeemed, rescued, set apart. Because we are on mission to share the gospel. We are individuals and people who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Amen? We are people creating a multi-ethnic community. Whether we want to or not, God is at work. We look at the body of Christ right now, at the well. We're a very multi-ethnic body. But what else is God doing in our lives, in our church? People who use life circumstances to shape the gospel. In other words, the good times and the bad times, when you're healthy and when you're sick, when you have a job, when you lost a job, when you're being promoted or demoted, when you're getting a raise or haven't gotten that raise, when you have a child or you don't have a child, when you have too many children or you don't have enough children, when you have the house that you want, life circumstances are great opportunities to share the gospel where you're at. I'm feeling sick. I'm not feeling well. This is a great opportunity to show how God is operating in your life. We are people who are leveraging not only the material resources and economic resources, but also the skills and the knowledge to spread the gospel. What does that mean? We have engineers. We have IT individuals. We have computer engineers. We have mathematicians. We have individuals that work in constructions. Whatever gift or skill set that you have gotten has been given to you to use for the kingdom of God. There are great opportunities to let know of others how the gospel can be a transformative change. Lastly, we are people who actively wait for the second coming. Right? That is, in essence, Revelations. We are actively waiting for Jesus to come. Amen? Now, Paul also tells us that this is not our final destination. We're just bystanders. We're just visitors in this planet, but we always think that this is our final destination. This is our Jerusalem. This is our Rome. No. This is not our final destination. So when we see and hear God reveals, like the homelessness ministry, there's hundreds of other things that are happening in our church. We have community groups. We have family groups. We have refugees ministry. We have vulnerable children. We have accessibility ministry. There's so many things happening in our church that we should be beginning to think about. If I'm not involved, if I'm not serving, how or why or how I can get engaged. We also have a prayer team. We have a hospitality team. We have a welcome team. We have a worship team. We have an AV team. There's so many ways that we can share the gospel. Now, one of the things that Beju alluded to with the closing drive is that this was not an intentional mission trip that we wanted to go to the Eastern Shore. It just happened. Now, again, when I say it happens, it means that I was not actively looking for it, but God was already actively at work. Amen? So for 3 years, we got this invitation to go to the Eastern Shore. For various reasons, we said, no, the timing was not right. But God has been at the midst. So we'll probably do a God reveal sooner or later. Just to give you that insight of how God is moving in this particular ministry, I get a random text on a Monday morning. I'm doing my stuff. And then this brother that I know from another church texts me. He says, brother, do you happen to know if anyone is selling a trailer? And I said, what kind of trailer? So I walked to the fellowship or to the prayer room, as I call it, the conference room, and I take a picture of the trailer that was outside. I don't know how many of you remember, but there was a trailer outside. I took a picture, and I said, you're talking about a trailer like this? He goes, yes, exactly like that. I said, well, let me ask the individuals who owns it, blah, 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 blah. I text Darren. I text Brandon. I said, look, what's the story behind the trailer? He said, well, it's very difficult. We haven't been able to get the tax for it. So I tell my friend, look, the tax have been very difficult to get. We're willing to donate it for you, but you have to do the legwork. He goes, not a problem. We'll figure it out. 3 months later, multiple tries to the NBA, they finally get the tax. Then the same brother that asked me before the trailer, he goes, do you have a piano, a keyboard that we can use? I said, well, I don't know. Let me ask. I asked Darren again, and Darren goes, yeah, we have a piano. So I take the picture. He goes, is this okay, piano? He goes, that will do. So we donated a piano. Then they asked, do you have a tent? Well, I said, I don't have a tent personally. The church did not have a tent. Then Matt goes, you have a tent guy. Remember the tent that we used for the Christmas party? So that's a friend of mine. So I texted him and I said, hey, brother, I'm asking you on behalf of a friend, do you have a tent? He goes, I do have a tent. So we give it to him. So God is at work. 11 people have committed to go to the Eastern Shore to share the gospel. Literally this morning, as I'm preparing for the sermon, the mom of someone that has gone to us with multiple trips, she is Haitian. She goes, I want to go, and I want to be able to share the gospel to the Haitian brothers and sisters. So I said, sure, we'll make it manage. We'll make it work, right? I just need to know if you're going for 1 day or 2 days so we can get a hotel room. So God is at work. Amen? God is at work in your life. Betty just talked about before and after Christ, right? She was very timid. You would never notice that if you ever talked to Betty. She's not timid at all, right? But God is at work, and God is at work in every of our lives. The question is, do you recognize him being at work? It is my belief and it is my prayer that we are a body on mission and we are doing God's work. So as we begin to think about being more specific, how can I be more bold to share the gospel? This is a way to do it. Pastor Matt is going to be having a class or self-taught class, and then on September 14th, we're going to have a cohort of individuals that have been working diligently on the material, and then on September 14th, they're going to come together to learn how to share the gospel. So last week, or 2 weeks ago when I did this, 8 people signed up. I'm giving you some time right now to take out your phones, to scan the QR code. And if God is moving you for that, this will be a great opportunity to know what are more effective ways that I can share the gospel with my neighbor. So that's one way that you can do that. So September 14th, after church, you will get together and know more about the tools. There are mission trips coming up. We already have several people that have committed to go to the Eastern Shore. And always Matt says, Ronald is taking people. And I'm like, I'm not taking anyone. I'm going with myself and my family. And whoever wants to come, they can come with us, right? But I'm not leading. I'm just going, all right? But if you're willing and you're able and you want to come along, you can talk to me after service. But there's also Albania. We're leaving in September 19th through the 30th. We'll be in Albania, Macedonia. If you There's still time. The price tickets have remained the same if you're interested in that. But if God is moving in your hearts, right, I need to go on a mission trip. I want to experience what God is doing at the ends of the world. Take a picture of the QR code. Look at the link. But 2026, I was saying last time, 2026 looks very murky for me in terms of the mission trips. And I want the mission trip to be more led by other individuals, not dependent on me. And God is already doing that. So we got two individuals that are stepping to the plate, one I'm looking at right now. Matt Halby is like, it's not me. Yes, it is you. Matt Halby is praying to go to Ecuador again because God spoke to him. But when I spoke to Matt, he goes, I have it in my heart and my desire for my entire family to go. And I said, brother, praise the Lord for that. But start praying. Start praying. So I text my friend back in Ecuador and I said, you know, we're thinking of going in March. My friend goes, that is the date that I cannot be available. What about August? I said, well, give me the dates and time in August. And he says, August 10th. Texted back Matt and I say, spring is out. Can you do the summer? He goes, is the only week in the summer that my entire family is not doing anything. So I said, praise the Lord. That's confirmation. So Matt Halvey, family, Ecuador, if you want to know more information, talk to him, all right? So we're praying. What is God going to do? Where else in the world are we going to do? And that brings me to my last point. I know that some of you might be thinking that we have no game plan how to decide where to go in the world. And that might be true. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit decides. I don't decide. I don't wake up one morning and say, I want to go here. I wait for confirmation from the Lord to validate, confirm, show me multiple times. I still pray through it. And then when I have the conviction and the validation by the Holy Spirit and multiple people, then I go, this is where we're going to go. So pray that 2026, you are able to say, yes, I'm willing to go wherever that is, in whatever capacity I'm going to serve. And I always tell people when they ask me, what are we going to do? I always say, that is the wrong question. Because you go not because what you're going to do. You go because you want to be witness to God in whatever form or way that he's going to use you. So there's never a game plan on what we're going to do. Like you ask me right now, I know Claudia's here and Mario's here. Mario already traveled with me, but next Saturday we're going to have a training. Claudia, right? Heads up on that one. And the question is going to be, what are we going to do in Macedonia? What are you going to do in Albania? And my answer is, I have no idea. That is why I'm going. We go to see what God is doing. We just go to serve and witness what God is doing. And if it happens that we do something, praise the Lord, right? Mario's already thinking about the debrief, right? He just asked me again. We're going to Croatia for the debrief, right? The running joke in our team is that, where's the debrief? Because that is a time that we're able to just relax, but there's no debrief this time around. So, sorry, Mario. But he already bought his ticket, so it's okay, all right? So, body of Christ, the well. As we end the series, Who We Are, and we finish reading the entire book of Acts, the story is the same. We're here to share the gospel. We're here to tell the story of a God that has redeemed us, that has saved us, has restored us, so others can join us as well. Whether that is where God has you right now or where God is moving you to, we are a people on missions. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray before we take communion. And as you pray and you begin to think about what is God is going to do, is God calling you to the ends of the world? Is God moving you to the ends of the world? Or is God has you exactly where he wants you to? The message is simple. Share the gospel of a God that loves you and has redeemed you, and he wants you to be part of that mission. Father, as we conclude Acts, we have heard the story over and over and over again of Paul being saved, giving a mission to go to the Gentiles, where he preached the gospel boldly and with the Holy Spirit. May we be like Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Father, thank you that you're bringing the ends of the world to our Silver Spring, to our church. But we also want to be obedient and go to the ends of the world. We want to be able, Father, to share that gospel of how you have restored us, how you have saved us. Father, as we move into communion, it's a time to reflect on what you have done. It's also a time of gratitude. It's also a time of conviction. And if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, and if you don't have a relationship with him, This is a moment. This is a time to make that decision. Father, thank you for all the ways that you're moving at the well. Father, we have a multi-ethnic body that is doing and sharing the gospel in various ways, both locally and globally. Father, we pray that as more people come, as new members come and new visitors come, they can see a body of Christ that is obedient, that is walking by faith, and just loving you, Father, above all things. Thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. When you're ready, you may come up and take part of the communion.